more ye faithful. For Bethlehem, joyful accord, come let us adore him. Oh, come let us adore him. Oh, come let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Despised to Bethlehem, son with joyful accord. Oh, come, let us adore him. Come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Hark, hark to the angels all singing in heaven, to God in the highest all glory begin. To Bethlehem hasten with joyful accord. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. To thee then, O Jesus, of thy birth be glory and honor through heaven and earth. True Godhead incarnate, omnipotent Word. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment, but I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son, today I have begotten thee. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the world and those who dwell therein. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. Glory be to the Father and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son, today I have begotten thee. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. O God, you made this most holy night to shine with the brightness of the true light, grant that we may know the mysteries of that light on earth, and that we may also come into the fullness of his joys in heaven, through the merits of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament lesson for this, the Nativity of our Lord, Christmas night, is written in the 9th chapter of the prophet Isaiah, beginning at the 2nd verse. And the people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light, and those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at a harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil, for the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, You are broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in the battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. The epistle lesson is written in the second chapter of St. Paul's epistle to Titus, beginning at the 11th verse. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Alleluia. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The Holy Gospel is written in the second chapter of St. Luke, beginning at the first verse. Glory be to thee, In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus to all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in that region there were shepherds out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said unto them, Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, for you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a great multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men whom he has pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said unto one another, Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing which has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying which had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Nations rise. Son of Righteousness. He brings praise with healing in his wings. Mild he leaves his throne on high, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Come, desire of nations, come, fix in us thy humble home. To all thyself impart, formed in each believing heart. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we just sang, Hail, the heavenly Prince of Peace. Hail, the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he leaves his throne on high, born that man may no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. But do we really appreciate what those words mean? Or do we just take it for granted? Just more holiday kitschd. Or sentimentalism. I wonder. When he preached on this same Christmas text more than a half a millennia ago, Martin Luther began his sermon by quoting a folk tale, a German folk tale. And he said that once upon a time, the devil attended Mass in a church where it was customary to say the Lord's Prayer or the Creed and to sing Et Homo Factus Est, that is, God's Son became man. And while they were singing this, the people remained standing and did not kneel down. And the devil was so incensed that he slammed his fist into a man's mouth next to him, and he said, you boorish bum, are you ashamed to stand there like a post and refuse to kneel for joy? If God had become our brother, like he became your brother, our joy among the angels would be so great that we wouldn't even know what to do with ourselves. You see, in the Old Testament pseudepigrapha, it's the opinion in some of the writers that the reason why Satan rebelled and the demons with him from the angelic choirs was because they saw the plan that God was going to become a man, and they were offended by it. It's interesting, isn't it? Now Luther goes on to say, maybe this is pure fiction, but if it was invented, it was invented by somebody very intelligent who correctly understood the great honor with which he bestowed upon us when God's Son became a human being in a totally different way from Adam and Eve. You see, Adam was formed out of the soil of the ground, and Eve was formed out of Adam's rib, but Christ was even more closely related to us because he was born from the flesh and blood of his mother, the Virgin Mary. In the same way, human beings are born, with one exception. The Virgin was single when the power of the Holy Spirit came upon her, Luther says, and God's Son was conceived without sin by the power of the Holy Spirit. But aside from that, he's just like us. He's a genuine human being. He knows what we feel. He knows what we go through. He knows our temptations. He knows our fears because he laid all his glory aside. And there's no other religion. You can study comparative religions all day long, and I have. And you will not find another religion where God himself becomes one of his slaves so that he might free them from their slavery. You won't find one. No. He leads, he lays his glory by. He dies that man no more may die. He comes to bring them second birth. Yes, this truth, his birth, is very humble. And yet I think it's more humble than most of our births. I think our births were much more significant than his birth, right? Right? Because he's God the Son. He's the second person of the Holy Trinity. He's the one in tomorrow's gospel lesson. There was nothing that was made that wasn't made through him. And yet, when he was born, even though he's the one, all authority in heaven and earth will be given to him in the final chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. But when Mary went into labor, she wasn't in a house or a hospital or a palace. No, when it was completed for her time for her to be delivered, she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the lives of humanity. There was no room for him in the katalema, the inn. In other words, this room, this world doesn't have room for Jesus. Not really. It never did. It never did. Right? I mean, Jesus alluded to this later on in his ministry. He said, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath no place to lay his head. Because our sin is too important. The things we want are too important. Right? And this word for inn is interesting, isn't it? Katalema. It doesn't mean a hotel. It's not like going to the local, you know, Hampton Inn or Hilton or whatever, you know, Motel 6. It's not like that at all. In fact, there's many discussions about what it actually is. Some think maybe it's a private home because it was very common practice that you would just stay with people. You just let rooms out, like on Forrest Gump or something, right? Others think it may be just some place that we don't really know about, you know, that there's a disagreement about what it means. But probably, most likely, the Traveler's Inn at or near Bethlehem was what's called a caravanserai or a khan. It's sort of like a big covered room, like if this room had no pews in it and you just had the concrete on the floors instead of carpet, everybody would just kind of come in here and take a space, and you'd bring your animals in here with you, and that would be kind of your space, like a big warehouse, and everybody just sort of take a piece of it and spend the night, and it'd be covered and kind of for protection and stay out of the elements and that kind of thing. That's probably what the inn was, probably. But it really doesn't matter. All we know is that there wasn't a place for Jesus and his pregnant mother and Joseph there in that place, right? There just wasn't a place. Now, Luke does not tell us precisely where Jesus was born. We really don't know for sure where the fixed site was. It's a pretty strong tradition going back to the 3rd century, the 200s, late 300s, mid-early 300s, that probably it was in a cave because the land around Bethlehem is karst. It's like Kentucky. It's got a lot of caves everywhere. And it's thought that it was a group of caves located near the town of Bethlehem. And the tradition is so well fixed in history that by the 4th century, early 300s, that the Constantine built a church on the site of these caves to mark the nativity. He built this in the same year as Nicaea, year of our Lord 325, over a series of caves. And the greatest late patristic biblical scholar, Jerome, spent many years in a cave adjacent to this cave that he said was the cave of the Nativity. And the other thing that Jerome says authenticates the spot was that for 180 years, from AD 135, when the Second Jewish Revolt happened, the pagan Romans had actually built a pagan temple to Adonis over the spot, because that's what they would do in the ancient world. When you conquer another territory, you take your enemies' religions and you build your own temple on top of their stuff. And so Jerome writes that in the cave where Christ the child was born, they wept for Venus's lover. Furthermore, it's interesting that Isaiah predicts Jesus will be born in a cave, most likely, because he says in Isaiah 33:16, Septuagint, he says that he will dwell in a high cave or a strong rock. And Bethlehem is quite a bit above in altitude where Nazareth is. Nazareth is down where the Sea of Galilee is. It's much lower. And Bethlehem is in one of the highest spots in the hill country of Judea. It's really kind of like a mountaintop, to be honest. Right? Also, Justin Martyr, the early church martyr, he cites the oldest Armenian version of Matthew 29, saying that where the star came to rest was over a cave. But whether it was a cave or a building, it's irrelevant. But I think it's interesting that it could be a cave. Because if it is a cave, doesn't Jesus' birth foreshadow Jesus' death? And doesn't his emergence from the womb of the Blessed Virgin in a cave foreshadow his emergence from his tomb on Easter? Because really, Christmas is the beginning of Easter. You can't have Christmas unless you have Easter, and you can't have Easter unless you have Christmas. That's the reason why today is a gold day, just as Easter is a gold day. They're the bookends. One mandates the other, right? It does. It's interesting that God the Son, the creator of the world, comes out of the earth after his birth to deliver humanity from their sins, who are doomed to return to the dust, because dust thou art and dust thou shalt return, God said to Adam. And yet, the cave of Jesus' birth and the man-made cave slash tomb of Jesus' burial cannot hold Jesus, our Redeemer. They couldn't hold him when he was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in the manger in that cave, and it cannot hold him when he's wrapped in cloths very similar to swaddling clothes after his death and burial by Joseph of Arimathea. In both cases, he emerges victorious. He emerges from his swaddling clothes to become our Messiah, our Redeemer, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And after he pays for our sins with the blood price of his own life upon the cross, and he's wrapped in grave clothes and laid in the tomb, the artificial tomb of Joseph of Arimathea that was carved out of living rock, on the third day he rises from the grave. So that when the apostles go and they peer into the cave, they see only the cloths lying there, undisturbed, like the body just came right through them. And the handkerchief that covered the face in another spot. And then Mary sits outside the cave weeping. And she sees the gardener. And the gardener says to her, Mary, why are you weeping? Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? She says, if you've taken my Lord, tell me where you put him. And then he says, Mary. And then she recognizes her Rabboni, that Christ is risen. It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. How Mary, taking her firstborn son and wrapping him in swaddling clothes and laying him in a manger, foreshadows what will happen to her son 33 years later. And that's maybe why St. Mary, the Blessed Virgin, is seen as the icon or image of the church, the faithful church, the true church, not the church of a label, but rather the church that believes in Jesus and his word, that believes that her son will deliver us from death into life. That's the reason why all the ancient pictures of Mary always has her looking at her son Jesus, saying, if you want to find salvation, you look to my son. Absolutely. That he will deliver you from death. And he does. He does. For it is through the church that we are delivered from death, through Christ's bride, the church. Right? Just as Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, so we are born of the womb of the Mother Church, which is the waters of holy baptism, where we are born again of water and the Spirit, so that we literally put on Christ and we are joined to his life, so that we become his branches and he is our vine and his life flows into us. Additionally, there is great significance as to how she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Because as I said, these strips of cloth that the ancient newborns were wrapped in are very similar to the cloths that Jesus was wrapped in his death. An ancient church father by the name of John the Monk, he sang a song once, and I don't know the tune, but I'll say the words. He says, "Rejoice, O Jerusalem, and celebrate all who love Zion. Today the ancient bond of the condemnation of Adam is loosed. Paradise is open to us. The serpent is laid low. Of old he had deceived the woman in paradise, but now he sees a woman become the mother of the Creator. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom of the knowledge of God. The sinful vessel that brought death upon all flesh has become the first fruits of salvation through the Theotokos," that is the God-bearer, that's the Greek name for Mary, "for all the world. For from her, the all-perfect God is born a child, and by his birth he sets the seal on her virginity, and through his swaddling clothes he looses the bonds of sin. Through becoming a child, he heals Eve's pangs in travail. Therefore, let all creation sing and dance for joy, for Christ has come to restore creation and to save our souls." Amazing, isn't it? I think John's right. Yes, St. John Chrysostom, one of the, also the Archbishop of Constantinople years before, he said that Jesus, his human birth, his swaddling clothes signal a human birth. Because you see, the Messiah must be human to pay for our sins. And so this, because the swaddling clothes must be real, he writes, "Therefore Christ's grave clothes are equally real. And if his grave clothes are real, and they are empty in the resurrection, that means the resurrection is real. If Christmas is real, he says, then Easter too must be real. For I said, like I said earlier, when Peter stooped down and looked into Jesus' tombs, he only saw the swaddling clothes of death, but no body. And there was no body because Christ was risen, just as he said, just as he was born of a virgin, as he predicted many, many years before. Yes, the baby that emerged to become the Savior has now emerged from the grave to become our Redeemer. And now this Redeemer comes to us through his word and through his sacraments. And he says to us, because I live, you shall live also. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is as light as paradise. In the name of Jesus, amen.
We still have communion, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah, we'll have communion. Heard from me, restore unto me the joy of peace. receive these gifts, they serve us on the altar of the preaching of the Holy Word. In the name of the Lord, we pray. Amen. I'd like to welcome all of you this evening to our Christmas Eve service, and it's such a blessing to have all of you here, and just wanted to let, so please just note the blue news with the schedule for the parish this week. Tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, we will have a divine service for Christmas, because it is Christ Mass, so it's Christ service, so we'll have one tomorrow at 10 at, here at Redeemer, and then at noon at Concordia Lutheran Church as well, which I also serve for now 3 years. So just if you missed the 10 o'clock, you can still make the noon service there, or vice versa. So just want to let you know on that. Just note the rest of the blue news for the week. We will not have any, right now there's no guests for Family Promise so far. That may change. We'll let you know if there is. We had several prayer requests from the morning services. One was for Artie Highnote, who is going to have a heart and kidney transplant up at UAB soon. Also, the Abernathys asked that we pray for Debbie, who has been diagnosed with cancer. We also have a prayer request for a Robert Vitale from St. Louis, who has inoperable brain cancer and does not have a good diagnosis. I kind of grew up with him some in Bowling Green. And then also, some of y'all know the Days, Cloyce and Woody Day. They are not doing well at all. They're becoming very, very fragile, so keep them in your prayers as well. And then also, Alfreda West from Concordia, she's at Thomas and is not doing well. I found out today she's actually kind of taking a turn for the worse. So pray for Miss Alfreda. I think she's in like her early 90s and is not healthy. And then also Pastor Benjamin Stallworth also was at Thomas. I'm not sure if he's still there, but he was. I thought he was going home Friday, but I don't think he did. So keep him in your prayers too as well. He's had some things going on with him as well. The Lord be with you. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace that is from above and for the well-being of the churches of Christ and the godly unity of all Christendom, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and those who in faith, piety, and the fear of God offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. For our nation, all our people, for Joe, our president, and the Congress of the United States, for Kay, our governor, and the legislature of Alabama, for our judges and magistrates and all who serve in public office, let us pray to the Lord. For the sick and the sorrowing, for those who mourn, for those who are in need and distress, for the homebound and the infirm, Especially we pray this day for Alice and Becca, for Joyce and Mary, Mark and Eddie, Norma and Kim and Suzette, for Woody and Cloyce, for Shirley and Chris, for Elmer and Para, for Chris and Janine and Sugar and Brooke, Janice and Taylor, for Melissa and Janice, for Danny and Tara, Melissa and Gray, for Bob and Meredith, James and George, Larry and Earl and Suzette, for Bob and Mallory, Mark and Hank, for Jay and Tracy, Michelle and Carl, Karen and Jimmy, Tina and Ainsley, for Kevin and Ron and Jesse and Theo and Easton and Waylon and Ryan. And we also pray for the families of our parish who mourn, especially the Tatum and Rogers family, the Faust and Callie's family, the Todd family, the Bolton and Grice and Heil families, and the Blunt and Davis family. We also pray for those in our country's armed forces, especially Riley and Paul and Hayden and Paul. And we pray for all of our university students, including Minnie and Aiden, Jacob and Kelsey and Mia. And we pray, Heavenly Father, for those to whom death is drawing near and for us all, that when our last hour shall come, we may depart this life in the confidence of the sure faith, the consolation of a right, devout and holy hope, and in the communion of Christ's holy church. Let us pray to the Lord, recalling those who've gone before us in the faith and rejoicing to share with them the Sabbath rest which Christ has won for his people, that together with them we may be found faithful in the day of judgment and rejoice in the day of the resurrection of the dead. Let us pray to the Lord. We pray especially for Elfrida and Benjamin and Cloyce and Woody and Robert. O Lord God, Heavenly Father, look down from heaven, visit, behold, and relieve thy servants Elfrida and Benjamin, Cloyce and Woody and Robert, for whom we offer up our supplications. Look upon them with the eyes of thy mercy, and give them comfort and sure confidence in thee. And we know that no word is too difficult for thee, and if you wish, you can heal all our infirmities. But we ask that you would do so if it be your will. But if not, Heavenly Father, be with those who are sick, so that you might be with them and they might have your grace to get through this your time of their your visitation. We ask this through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.